tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Central Pennsylvania Shrimp Tank, brought to you from our new studio, at least temporary studio, here in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania. I know our guest is going to appreciate that. We're doing our new series, we're continuing this series in, we're calling it In the Crosshairs of Corona. And for those of you who followed us before, you know our mission here on the Central PA Shrimp Tank is to tell the story of entrepreneurship. We like to say we'll help you get your MBA in entrepreneurship by learning from the individuals who are on the grounds actually living the life of entrepreneurship. But right now, we're still in this odd world of the coronavirus crisis. And we want to keep telling this story about just the realities of what entrepreneurs, particularly small businesses, not our big box retailers that we know seem to be really reaping all the benefits of these shutdowns, but the local businesses and the impact that that's had on them. And I'm just very thankful to have Rob Ruth, who is the owner of Bob Ruth Ford, the current owner, and I'll let you get into some of the generations, how many generations it is and whatnot. But he's been a great example because especially in Pennsylvania, we've seen some very, very restrictive measures taken on small businesses and the auto industry. Now, we did get a bit of a reprieve here recently, but I'm not the expert, so I'll stop rambling and I'll bring the expert on. So, Rob, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Nathan. Thanks for having me.
So you're a fellow Dillsburgian, I guess, is at least from a business location. I'm not sure if you live in Dillsburg or not, but give us a little bit of a landscape of the shutdown itself. So you've got, you know, from the time you were notified when you needed to shut down to you actually had to shut down, and just what that was like.
Well, it was March 21st was the first, it was the actual shutdown. But the week prior, there was kind of like a partial shutdown where it was very vague on who could operate and who couldn't. And then it was, March 21st, you're closed. Hmm. So, and then our business was half your business can stay open, but the other half has to shut down, which is very confusing. And we all operate together. One doesn't operate without the other. So that was, it just the way it was handled and the way it was, communicated, it was just very frustrating. It happened so fast and we just had to react.
So you're talking about when you say half were and half weren't, you mean your service side versus your sales side, right?
The service department was allowed to be open, but our sales department had to be closed. It's hard to where you draw the line with that because the service department services the sales department. So you have people that work in the service. It was the most confusing thing I've ever been through in my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know you had to deal with some either furloughs or layoffs for at least a period of time. What did that look like? What was your kind of pre-crisis shutdown numbers to what you had to go through then during that temporary period?
Well, prior to the shutdown, I mean, we found a way that we could, I felt safe about it, that we locked our doors to the public and then we were operating that, we were just remotely at that point in time. But when we were actually shut down and they shut off your cash flow, I mean, we went from 130 employees to, under 50. We're probably back at around 60 at this point in time. It's just one of the toughest things I've ever had to do.
Yeah. So what was it a combination of people like sales and service people that had to be put off just because the volume wasn't coming in, even on the service side that you were open, but you weren't just didn't have the volume?
The automobile business is very small margins, very high expense. It's very transactional. So you need a lot of people. When you're not prepared for it and you kind of, you prepare for a month based on maybe the prior month. It happened very quick. And, if you don't take those necessary precautions, it doesn't take long to go out of business.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, and then you couple that with the fact that neighboring states, which
Correct.
We're not too far from some of the state borders, we're about an hour and maybe 15 minutes from southern state borders that we could drive right down there. Some places maybe even less. Yeah.
40 minutes to dealer from here.
Yeah. And they were able to sell cars, right? I could go into their lot and sell them, which was even more harmful. And you were broke. So Go ahead.
It makes it hard for the customer.
Yeah.
Like they, you know, it was just so confusing. Every state has different laws. We think of ourselves as Americans, and then it's, you know, 30 minutes down the road has different laws than this state, and you know, everything is confusing, and you have friends in different states, and you have different, you know, it became very political, it seemed, and it's, you know, we're just trying to work through it.
Well, I imagine, so I would guess most people, even though you talked about being transactional, it's because you have to be in a way because of the margins, but I would imagine most of your businesses, a lot of it's done because of your reputation, right? You've built a great reputation in this area. People come to you because they know you. Now they're forced to go to places. If they needed a car, they're forced to go to places. They have no idea who they're dealing with. They don't know the salespeople, the service department, the owners. They don't have any relationship there, which makes it even more confusing and difficult for the consumer, I imagine.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, obviously this whole situation has affected everybody. So demand is going to go down. Okay. And then if you keep supply open and your neighbors can operate, but then you're going to shut off this particular part, and then trying to get back in business, it's nearly impossible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. You probably got some stopgaps. I'm not sure. Did you guys go through the either PPP loan or the EIDL process? Okay, so that helped out. So that's at least a temporary measure to kind of weather the storm. But what do you see kind of post? Like now you've got a bit of a reprieve with at least allowing you're able to do online sales again. Mm-hmm. Although when you can do online sales, but you still can't test drive, right? So that's a bit of a setback.
Yeah.
But talk about that. What does that look like since you're now able to do online sales? And really, what do you see maybe the future looking like a little bit for you?
It's not all bad. Okay. So if we think my industry specifically, okay, everyone can relate because they bought a car. They've been a part of the car industry. Nobody likes to buy a car. Okay? Right? So we can agree to that. Nobody likes to go to a car dealership. Okay.
Except on Sunday, right?
Sundays you like to come to the car dealership.
Yeah, you're right.
Not lots on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm just being, this is real talk. We've kind of even prior to COVID have recognized that. So we put things in place where we're, you know, just trying to be more convenient to the customer while they're at home. So we're, you know, we're having conversations like this with somebody while they're at their house, and we're going through you know, what their needs are, what they're looking to accomplish. How can we help you? What can we do prior to you coming to the store? Okay. So that's something that we did that really put us in a good, like just our company. We're all independent. So not every dealership has adapted prior to COVID.
Yeah.
So that's helped us. And I believe, and I wholeheartedly believe that the consumer is going to get a better experience. It's going to be more convenient. I mean, we're delivering cars now. We sold a lot of cars when we were shut down. So we just kept our communication open. They couldn't stop us from talking to people. So we sold like 100 cars in that month with very limited staff, just talking like this, coming to agreements with people. Now we have a backlog and we're selling cars again. So it's even more confusing for us. But
you
know, those people never came to our dealership. We did all their financing. We had all their paperwork ready. We did video walk-arounds, and it was just, it's so simple. They come to the store and they're in and out in 15 to 20 minutes tops, but they're not even coming in the building. We're doing it outside.
Yeah. That's great. Well, this is a great lesson in adapting to whatever you have. You figured out a way to say, well, look, we can't just stop. We got to still do something.
We have to keep moving.
Let's figure out how to do it. So, man, that's fantastic, though, selling that many cars.
Yeah. I'm
awesome. Good for you guys.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that. You know, everything that was going on, you know, we're a pretty high volume store. We sell a lot of cars. Like you said, we've been there a long time. It's been, building a business for 37 years. You know, it started with my dad, then it went to me, and it was just, you know, together for a long time. And we just kept building and building and building. By adapting, by changing, by, you know, not doing things like we did in the past. But, you know, we're going to be okay. But like I said, we're independent. I think that this is, you know, not in just in my industry. Cash flow is everything right now. And if you run out of cash, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You talked about the PPP loan. I mean, that was the first thing I did. I applied for the loans. Just wanted to make sure that I had the safety nets. it's still a loan. We still have to pay it back.
Right.
It's very confusing on what is going to be reimbursed for that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, you know, put all my eggs in that basket and, you know, then I can't employ anybody. Then it's, right. You know, it's not a pretty picture.
Yeah. Well, not to be a pessimist, but as entrepreneurs, we tend to be, well, government overreach is not our friend. And given the actions that were taken recently, I could see in the back of your mind how you would look at it and say, yeah, I know they say this PPP loan is beautiful, but, you know, what happens when the debt balloon, you know, blows up and they say, well, about that, we're going to.
I've lost a lot of trust. I feel betrayed. I mean, as an American, you know, I just never thought that things like this would happen.
Yeah.
You know, my own personal, our business, 37 years, my father passed away 2 years ago. I just bought it last year. So, I mean, I bought it from his estate and I just went all in, made a decision, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I was probably a little bit more vocal, but I have a lot more at stake. So,
well, yeah,
you know, right.
You're at risk. I mean, that's
what a lot of risk.
You're at risk. Sure. And so what I think a lot of people don't necessarily see is they see the rosy kind of glamorous side of being able to be an entrepreneur. You know, oh, you can create your own schedule. You can make all the money you want. You can do all this stuff. But the reality is you're probably going home every night thinking about, all right, if I go under, that means the livelihood of 130 of my people also go under, and they represent 2 or 3 or 4 total people because they have a household that they're also helping to support. And it doesn't stop. It's not just about you. It's about the whole branch, the whole family of Bob Ruth Ford. And that's what people need to also understand. When we're talking about, when we're pushing this message about getting back to work, making sure people can get back to work, it's not self-serving. It's, we have people that we want to protect. We want their livelihoods to be able to be protected. We don't want them to be destitute. We want to help, just continue to help them thrive, right?
It's a major impact. It's a major impact on so many people and so many different lives. And you don't know, it goes even greater than that. I mean, it just doesn't stop. I mean, things we do in the community, it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
No, and I know that the people that work for me, and we've had a great culture, but you know, they can't afford, there's a lot of people that can't afford to just go put their hands in unemployment and so forth. So some decisions have to be made, and the decisions that have been made, there's been plenty of time to change them because they don't make sense. There's no common sense at all. If you can go to Lowe's and you can go to Home Depot, okay, you should be able to service and sell a car remotely and not even go in their building. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I've been saying that all along. You know, you drive by a Lowe's. I don't know if you've gone to a Lowe's since this has all happened. It is packed. It's probably busier now than it was before. And you're not supposed to be out, or, you know, whatever the orders are, the recommendations.
So that to me just tells me it's more of an agenda, because we've had more time, which makes it political, which makes it very sad.
Yeah. Like,
this is for a political reason. We're going to ruin people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, we're here to save people and protect them, but we don't care about the other, that you're going to ruin some lives.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to, the economy is going to suffer. So there's going to be less jobs. It's, you know, that's why I was so vocal about it.
Yeah.
We have to speak up about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I, for one, I'm glad you are, because you're probably, at least from what I've seen, have been one of the most vocal, and you got a great following. So you have a lot of people that are hearing your message. But we have a lot of good representatives right around our area who have also been championing this cause.
Yep.
And boy, they've just been doing an incredible job. I don't know if you're the Commonwealth Foundation as a nonprofit. I don't know if you've ever been or are familiar with them, but they are literally right at 3rd and State Street, and they can look at the Capitol steps. And their whole mission is to help drive entrepreneurship and be a voice for business owners. And they've been extremely vocal as well. So we've got a great group of diverse people that are helping to do this. But you have been very, very I'll say vocal. I don't want to outspoken has a negative tone. You were being real. You're being honest. Yeah. You're being genuine. So you're being very vocal about it. And I wanted to do that. And I do. I have to give my wife a bit of a shout out because I was talking about some of this stuff. Like, yeah, this isn't right, blah, blah, blah. And she looked at me one day and she said, well, you know, Nathan, I appreciate you saying this stuff, but are you going to do something about it?
Same thing my wife said to me. You know, yeah. And I've kind of toned it back a little bit. Okay. I mean, I really have to focus on my own operations in the short term just to, you know, just to get movement again and start moving. But people need to speak up. I mean, this is just, you can't let decisions like this happen to us. I mean, this just isn't right for anybody. And it impacts the whole economy and it impacts all economic levels, et cetera.
Yeah. Look, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a, you know, I don't know enough to give any sort of real opinion or valid thoughts about what's going on. But what it does, it's a little bit scary about the reality of how easily people have been willing to give up so many freedoms and rights that we've always had as Americans. And I think that's partly why this whole voice and the movement of whether you agree with them, reopen PA or, you know, all this other stuff is, I think, so important, because it's just about not getting steamrolled, not being sheep, if you will, not just saying, oh, okay, if you say something, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to, you know, run and hide, because that leads to, it's a slippery slope.
Very. You know, I've had a lot of state representatives that have helped us as well and voiced those things. But unfortunately, there's no power that anybody has. We've given power to, you know, a central point.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lack of communication. There's no, you know, these are the decisions, but there's really no reasoning behind them. There's no two-way communication. It seems like the laws are only working one way right now. You know, I think all those rights have been just stripped of us in a short period of time. And I know most, you know, business owners or people might not have chosen to live in this state if they would have known that these things were potentially.
Oh, yeah. I know a handful now. They're able to do residency changes. So the business operations necessarily aren't changing, but I know people who have, because of this, have said, you know what, I'm going to declare a residency. I have a second home somewhere else. I'm going to declare residency somewhere else because I'm just not in agreement with sending my tax dollars to a system that seems to fail the small business. And well, I'm an optimist. So my hope, I believe we're going to figure out a way, like this is going to present an opportunity, right? Crisis does present opportunity. So I think we're going to present an opportunity to figure out kind of what you were saying. There was clearly exposed some major flaws in how these systems work, I think. And hopefully this will be a way to figure out, like shed light on that and figure out, all right, how do we make this better going forward? How do we allow our local representatives to have a bigger and a stronger voice, our community to have a stronger voice, not a central voice that makes all the decisions? So I don't know. Maybe I'm idealistic, but
I hope you're right. And I'm with you. I'm an optimist as well. You know, it's just a shame that we're going through it right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really what it comes down to. I mean, we have to find solutions to problems.
Yeah.
I mean, any leader in any organization or small business or government, you got to find solutions to problems, and you got to look at the whole picture and not just, hey, this is one thing. So we have a virus, we have to deal with that, but we don't want to have a complete economic shutdown as well.
Exactly.
You know, that's immediately when I heard of the virus, that's what I had to do in my own organization. And any reasonable person is going to have to do that in any type of leadership.
Yeah, well, I know everybody says it, and sometimes it feels like, all right, yeah, it's just words, but we are going to get through this.
Yeah.
How long, right? But we are going to get through this, fortunately. We'll be stronger on the other side for it.
I agree.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
I see that just even in my own organization and the people I'm with, the way they've adapted, the teamwork. I mean, businesses that make it work or will do fine.
Yeah.
But there's going to be some losers, unfortunately, and it didn't have to be this way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I like to end these on a positive note. I mean, you brought a lot of positivity already. How you've been able to adapt, you have been able to sell cars through that. You've tried to mitigate as much as you can the downsizing and try to manage that. But in the community in general, have you seen other businesses that have really kind of just stepped up during this time and said, "Look, we're gonna do something good through this"? Any examples that you have that come to mind?
I mean, honestly, I've seen so many. I mean, you see a community, you see people coming together that maybe wouldn't have come together before. I see a lot of that. So I think that that's a great positive thing. You know, anyone in particular, I can't think of anything right at this moment, but I think that we're filled with a lot of positivity. We're filled with a lot of great people in our communities that, you know, we just need to come together. We need to support each other. And then we will come out of it like you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming together. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks so much for being a part of this special episode series. Hopefully when we get back to, you know, whatever it is, whatever post COVID 2020 or this section of 2020 looks like, love to have you on for a full show so we can hear more of your story, your entrepreneurial journey, and especially the realities of what you dealt with buying the business and having to go through this and coming out on the backside of it. So this is a formal invitation, extending it out to you for some other time. And that'd be great. But thanks so much. Again, thanks for being vocal. Thanks for doing great things in the community, for being a really pillar and a great name and staple here in Dillsburg in Central Pennsylvania. So appreciate that very much, Rob.
Hey, thank you so much, Nathan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, awesome. So, hey, everybody at home, thanks again for tuning in. Again, we had Rob Ruth, who's the owner of Bob Ruth Ford, giving us some great tips and ideas of how to, I'd say, really lead well in times of crisis and be an example, not just sit on the sidelines, but be an example, be a leader. And so thanks for him. Check his dealership out if you're looking for a car, whether it's virtual or now live, whenever we can do that again, be sure to check out the dealership. They're doing great things down there. Check out all of our episodes on our website at shrimptankpodcast.com/CentralPA. Like our Facebook page, find us anywhere you can get these podcasts. We'll see you next week on another episode of the Central PA Shrimp Tank.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank. Want to put it all together, this is big things. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.